KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
Are you a Christian that sits behind a closed door and reads your Bible and prays, but then your witness and your word, the word that God has given inside of you, just sort of stays inside because you're afraid of being bold? Do you realize that not being bold may take away opportunities that you have to bring someone else into the kingdom? My guest today has not only written books about being a resilient Christian, but is also going to enlighten us on how do you keep up with this speed of life technology. Speed of life sometimes is as speedy as the speed of light. My guest today is Ron Luce. Ron's heart is to bring youth to Christ. And now he's thinking about church leaders. Where do we stand as church leaders today in this society? I'd like to welcome him. Ron is a wealth of information, and if you're looking about how you can become a resilient Christian, stay tuned. Ron, welcome to Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich.
Thank you, Judy. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Ron, when I started reading your book, Resilience, I thought, yeah, statistics are so important for people to hear because people might think this world is chaotic, but people might think that Christianity is still alive and well. Maybe we could address that first and then get into some of the issues that are in your book, Resilience.
Well, you know, there's a lot of churches and a lot of people that go to church, but that's not necessarily the same as is Christianity alive. And you can tell that oftentimes when challenges come, how do you fare? How do you respond? Does your Christianity thrive, or is it like, oh no, God doesn't love me anymore? Is my Christianity a kind of fair weather Christianity, where kind of like fans for a ball team, you know, I'll show up whenever the team's winning and everything feels good, but when they're not winning, I'm not going to be there. And I'm afraid we have a lot of people that are more, they're fans of Jesus, but they're not followers of Jesus. And they're, when things are going well, they're kind of woohoo for Jesus and go to church. But when things aren't going so well in their life, or things they don't understand, then they tend to, God didn't really help me out, so forget this thing. And so the whole book, Resilient, is about learning how to have a backbone and follow Christ, good times and bad. You know, he talked about scriptures replete with run the race with endurance kind of metaphors. Well, you don't have to endure ice cream. You don't have to endure pizza. The whole idea of endurance is there are going to be some challenges, and he wants us to have a backbone and the strength to know how to endure no matter what comes our way.
You know, that was my dad's favorite scripture, running the race, finishing out to the end. And I think because my dad was such a finisher and a runner of the race, he and Mom gave our family the backbone of the importance of running the race for Jesus.
Mm, amen. And in the book, I actually put several metaphors in there about running the race. So I've run a couple of marathons, and I learned a lot about endurance in the Christian life by learning how to endure in the training for a marathon. Mm.
Tell us about some of those things.
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting. Like with a marathon, you have to, of course, it's 26.2 miles long, and you have to train up to 15 or 18 miles. Well, there's a certain point in your training when, like maybe after 12 miles, when you're running, like every step is pain. Like it's pain, 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 every step, pain, 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 pain. And you have to learn how to endure even though it's painful. And you've, like, not even gotten halfway to the end of the marathon yet. And so in America especially, we have such an addiction to comfort.
Comfort,
you know, if
yeah.
we have any kind of pain, give me a cream, give me a pill, you know, it must be the devil, oh no, you know, that kind of thing. And we don't have this sense of, you know, I'm going to persevere no matter how challenging this is.
Right,
and then
right.
You start reading about professional athletes, they all have pain, whether it's Olympian or a football player, baseball player. All the time. If you want to be great, you have to realize pain is part of the process. And if you want to endure to the end, you have to learn to continue to press forward and running after the things of Christ, although you might feel pain or it doesn't feel comfortable, or there may be things, you know, it may not be physically uncomfortable, but there might be, like, things you don't understand in your soul. Why are these bad things happening? Why is this happening with my kids? I thought, you know, we have this little idea that once I give my life to Christ, everything's going to be easy and fun. It'll be like Christian Disneyland or something. And then, oh, no, something bad happened. Jesus doesn't love me anymore. And we're so fickle about our following of Christ, and instead of learning to be the one that runs the race and endures, and we keep plotting, you know, one step after the other, even when we don't understand, we choose to trust Him.
That's true, and it's really the sovereignty of God, isn't it? I was in a Bible study yesterday where we were talking about that very same thing, about running the race, keeping your eyes on the prize. Jesus Christ is the only answer, and how the whole sovereignty of God, we may not understand it, but God is going to bring us through.
Right. And the thing is that in times, in moments where we don't understand, we choose to trust in His character and His nature. That the overall evidence is that He loves us, He's taken care of us, He's given us a new heart, He's put freedom in us, you know, He's freed us from our past, from our chains, from the horrible things that have happened, He's put forgiveness inside us. And so we trust in His overall goodness and His nature, even when there's physical things in front of us that we don't understand.
Ron, for the past 30 years, you've been preaching to young people. What today would you tell that young person that might be listening to this program?
Well, yeah, we've had a lot of grace from the Lord to be able to reach a lot of young people in big events all over North America and now around the world. And probably one of the biggest challenges that this younger generation is facing, that no other generation has faced, with all the technology and things that are addictive, you know, in their pocket as far as phones and social media and all of this, is that it's like noise. It seems important for a minute. You know, you get an endorphin because you got a like, or because somebody sent you a little meme or something, but it's noise. It's like white noise. So you don't hear the important message that God wants to whisper to your soul about freedom and forgiveness and the kingdom of God and how great it is to follow Jesus. And so it's static noise like this all the time. And so if you're a parent and you've got a young person, you wonder why they don't listen to you or why they're not listening to the preacher in church. It's because their brain is so full of noise all the time. And so one of the things I encourage parents to do, and pastors and leaders, is to try to find opportunities where there's no white noise. Like maybe it's dinner time. Everybody puts their phone in a basket, and, you know, we're not doing that. We're doing this relationship around the table. We find opportunities. Maybe you're on a long drive with your son or daughter going somewhere, and you say, let's put our phones down, and you bring up a conversation or a topic, or maybe you listen to a TED Talk and you discuss it. The point is that you kind of extract them away from the noise long enough so you can get to their heart. And I think that's what Jesus did. I mean, there's always been noise. People literally, and Jesus might be in the street yelling and all that, so He pulled them away. He pulled the disciples away, put the 5,000 away so they could hear. Now we've just got noise with us everywhere. We got to be more strategic about how we extract people and our young people away from the noise, so that it's like peeling the layers of an onion off of their heart so they can, you know, hear the whisper of God in their heart.
Do you think that the encroachment of so much social media noise has led kids to even forget how to tune in when it's quiet to someone speaking to them?
Oh, yeah. Well, like, there's this fallacy of multitasking. You know, oh, no, I'm listening to you while they're texting and all. Mm-hmm. It's just not true. And actually, there's all kinds of science that refutes it. People like to think, even business people, you know, well, I'm multitasking, I'm being very productive, but even for business people, it's there's nothing like the power of focus when you're really focused on one thing, particularly when that one thing is a relationship. And we suffer. There's data out there that shows that the more time you spend online, the more depressed you are likely to be. And so you might have 1,000 friends, quote-unquote, on Facebook, but you feel like the loneliest person in the universe.
Yeah, that's true. Ron, I've been thinking about that whole friendship thing, because it seems like it's harder for people to find real apples of gold friends these days. We try, and those of us who want apples of gold friends, you reach out and you reach out, and you might reach out 10 times to a person, and they still don't reciprocate. And you think, Well, it's me. It's because of me they're not reciprocating. They would reciprocate if Susie wanted to be their friend, but me, they're not. But that's not really true, is it?
No, it's not. And we end up with a lot of acquaintances that are, you know, a mile wide and an inch deep kind of a thing. And and then we wonder why we kind of feel lonely. And it's almost like our social relationships become of a commodity. The more likes you get, the more friends you have online, the more cred you have kind of thing. And you have this social cred online, but you still feel empty because you're not close to these people. It's sort of like what's happened is we have a whole generation that doesn't even know how to have social relationships. So, for example, on Facebook, you don't like somebody, you just block them. Well, in real life, you have to learn to forgive. You have to learn how to ask forgiveness. You have to learn how to be humble and look somebody in the eye and see the pain that you've caused them or how to empathize with them. Online, you don't have to have that. And so sociologists are really wondering what it's going to look like in 10 or 20 years when you have a whole generation that are immature, or maybe I would say not just immature, but they have no clue about how to have a real relationship.
About how to have a real relationship.
Like children, you have to teach them all over again.
I'm Judy Redlick. You're listening to Encounter. Ron Luce is my guest. Ron, how do you think that we can get our youth tuned back into friendships, reality, helping them find that Jesus Christ is the real answer? Where do we go? What do we do?
Well, you've asked a loaded question, Judy, and I'm glad you have. This is one thing that I've been researching, actually traveling around the world, looking at churches and church leaders around the world, asking them what challenges are they having and what successes are happening around the world. And some of the challenges are actually the same ones we're having here in America. That is, we have exported our youth culture, music and Hollywood stuff all around the world, and they're saying, well, our kids are addicted to media, they're addicted to their phone, they're addicted to Hollywood, and we don't know how to reach them anymore. They're more like your culture than our culture. So the global youth culture that we have, we've actually spread the challenges that we have all around the world. And so, you know, we used to be known in America spreading the gospel. We're actually more known now for spreading the antithesis, making it more challenging. Mm-hmm. And so some of the most beautiful things I found in doing this in preparation for this big event that's coming up in Manila, Jesus Global Youth Day, and we've invited some of the people I'm about to tell you about to come there to share their stories. We found that about a dozen or so, I'm sure there are more, but pastors and leaders that are remarkable at reaching and discipling the young generation. When I mean that, I don't mean youth pastors. I'm talking about senior leaders who have taken responsibility for reaching all the youth in their city or their village or their part of the city or something like that. And then they will implement a strategy to reach them. They take responsibility for them. Then they implement a strategy to disciple them. So some of the best practices are, and this kind of circumvents all of the strategies that we just talked about, like the enemies using the social media, preoccupy them and all that. So let me just describe some of the best practices. Number one is they go after them when they're young, when they're 13 and 14. So much of what happens in youth ministry around America and around the world is trying to chase kids who don't want to get caught. They're 16, 17, 18, they're cool, they're driving their car, and they're hanging out with their friends. But a 13-year-old wants to get caught. It's kind of a global phenomenon. Who do I fit in with? What group's going to like me? How, you know, am I in the cool kids, or am I in the nerds? Am I in the band? Am I a sports guy? And so reaching out to them, they're the most receptive to Christ. And so the best practice leaders around the world are not just thinking about the youth who are in their church, whose parents go to their church. They're thinking about all the 13- and 14-year-olds in their part of the city, the footprint that they cover. Number two is once they reach them, how then do they disciple them? And in our church culture here in America, we use the word discipleship, and we don't really have a clear understanding of what that means. It's like maybe a few classes they go to after they give their life to Christ. But they think more like, okay, I've discovered a number of churches with a plan. From the age 13 to 25, they have a map of how they want these young people to grow in their faith, when they begin leadership, when they start leading people to Christ, when they start leading small groups, all the way through the age 25. And so that keeps them from slipping through the cracks that we know about. They go off to college and they lose their faith and all this kind of stuff. And so these are tried and true people that have been doing it for 5, 10, 15, 20 years that have thriving churches. And as a result of reaching so many young people that have now grown up, the average age of their church is very young, 23, 24, 25 years old.
And those kids have stayed in church because of the roadmap they've been given.
Exactly. And one of the keys is, it seems everyone that we've talked to, is by the time they're a Christian for a year or two, maybe they're 14 or 15 now, they train them and they become a leader. So now they're a leader in a small group, and they're teaching. Well, everyone knows in order to teach something, you have to learn it really well.
You have to learn it yourself, yeah.
So imagine you're 15, and now you're teaching a group for the next 5 or 6 years all the way through university years. The most troubling years of your life, you're actually sharing and teaching and sharing. And I think this is one of the fallacies in our Western Christianity, is we don't think of ourselves as ministers. We're just the ones, the normal Christians, quote-unquote, just go to church and get stuff from our pastor. You know, we're like the dead.
Yeah, that is what people think.
We just keep getting and getting and getting, and we wonder why our faith dies. We were meant to be givers, you know, like a lake that has a river running in and a river running out, not like the Dead Sea. And if we don't have an expression for that, a way to minister to people, then we kind of die. Well, when teaching young people when they're 14 or 15 to be a leader and to minister to your peers, they start seeing that the cycle of continually refreshed Christianity is that you're not just receiving, but you're also giving.
So the Jesus Global Youth Day, where you're going to share a lot of these things, is in Manila.
Right.
How can we participate in that right here?
Well, we've got people coming with the youth groups from all over the world for this. But also on the final day, it's August 8th, 9th, and 10th, the final day on the 10th, we're doing a global broadcast all around the world with churches. I've signed up right now to fill up their church with young people. Small groups have signed up, all kinds of host sites, nearly 100,000 different places around the world will be receiving the signal and filling their churches with young people. And we would love anyone that's listening, whether you're a pastor or leader, to partner with you. If you're a parent, you can fill up your home, get the signal in your home, fill it up with young people. And it's going to be amazing with music from around the world, speakers from around the world, great ministry moments. But a beginning for those that feel like, I don't really know what I could do to help you. Well, can you do this? Could you open up your church? Could you open up your home? We'll give you the tools, how to invite people, digital tools, give them to your youth group. They'll get them out to all their friends. And it would be a great thing. But right now is the time to sign up. You just go to JesusGlobalYouthDay.com, and you can see if you want to be a host site. Click on it, and we'll get you all the information right away.
That's JesusGlobalYouthDay.com.
That's right.
JesusGlobalYouthDay.com. With me is Ron Luce. Ron and I are talking about how important it is to reach your kids when they're 13 and 14 and younger with the gospel. You know, it's a myth, Ron, that parents say, well, I'm not going to take them to church now because they need to be able to decide on their own where they want their faith level to be.
Yeah. Listen, as a parent, you don't know how long you're going to have any kind of influence on their life. You know, like the older they get, it seems like the less influence you have. You have to earn the influence. But while they're younger, do everything you can to get them around an environment where they can get rid of the noise, the white noise, and hear the whisper of God. That could be Sunday morning. That could be Wednesday night youth group or Friday night youth group or a youth camp or a youth conference. I mean, do whatever you have to do. You know, the gospel's the same. But how we hear it based on our generation, how we receive information is different, you know, through the sight and sound generation and music and everything's different, right? And so just because it's cool or edgy doesn't mean it's not anointed and full of the power of the gospel. So I would say do whatever you have to do to get your kids in an environment where they can have a dramatic encounter with the Lord that could shape the whole rest of their life.
Ron Luce is the author of a book called Resilience that came out. Lots of statistics in that book. In fact, Ron, before we talk a little more about Jesus Global Youth Day and your new book coming out, what are some statistics that church leaders need to know?
Well, there's a couple of macro trends that are shaping the whole world. And we don't notice them right now, but they're shaping already. One of them is what I would call the graying of the church. That is, here in America and around the world, Christians are getting older and older and older. For example, the median age of Christians around the world is 30 years old. The median age of Muslims is 23. So just that stat alone means the impact is unspeakable. Think about childbearing years, things like that. And it really means that the church, by and large, is not doing a good job at passing the baton of the gospel to the younger generation. And so when we realize things like that, whether you're a parent or whether you're a church leader, it ought to cause us to focus, like what Barna and the Pew Research is saying, actually, by 2050, be the first time in the history of the world that there'll be more Muslims in the world than Christians. I'm talking about all Catholics and Orthodox and Protestants. It never happened before. By 2050, in 30 years from now. So now is the time to focus on reaching the younger generation so that we have enough ramp-up time to change. What does a world look like that's dominated by Islam? I don't know, maybe like Syria does. How would we like a whole world that looked like that? And that's where we're going unless right now we all jump on board and focus on the next generation. That's really what Faith at the Speed of Light, this new book, is all about. And the other macro trend that's shaping us all, whether we realize it or not, is called the knowledge revolution. For the first time in the world, knowledge is doubling every year in every sector. Everything we know about medicine right now will be double a year from now. Everything we know about computers will be double a year from now. Every single technology, and they're all converging. And so they're saying in the next 20 years, it'll be the equivalent of the 80 years industrial revolution crammed into 20. Life will be so different. And so it's like a big, massive tidal wave that our younger generation is getting caught in the middle of. And we think things are changing fast now. It's about to go warp speed. And so the question is, how do we keep our faith strong? How do we pass our faith to the younger generation in the midst of all the social technology, cultural change, this wave that's about to hit us? So faith at the speed of light, keeping your faith strong in the midst of all these changes that are about to engulf us, it couldn't be more important than now to get prepared. So instead of getting crushed by the wave, we can surf the wave and leverage the change to get stronger faith and pass our faith to our next generation.
Ron, how can people get copies of Faith at the Speed of Light and also Resilience and all of your other 28 books?
If you go to Amazon and look for Faith at the Speed of Light by Ron Luce, L-U-C-E, you'll see how you can order it now, and you can get the ebook, you can get the hard copy, and it comes out August the 10th, but you can pre-order it right now, Faith at the Speed of Light. With the reviews we've had so far, people are very glowing, like finally there's something. Rather than accidentally wondering what happened to us, we can prepare for what's about to happen and not have the church wandering around for the next 10 or 20 years going, oh no. Like, it's sort of what happened when the internet first came out.
Yeah.
And, you know, websites are like, what do we do? We don't know what to do. Well, it's time for us to be able to see what's coming and then prepare for it.
Be proactive. And Jesus Global Youth Day, how do they find out more, and how can they get involved?
Just go to JesusGlobalYouthDay.com, get more information on how you can get the broadcast on August the 10th, and be a part. Everybody can do something. Do your small part to begin to reach and disciple young people right now.
I'm Judy Redlich. This has been Encounter. Ron Luce has been my guest. Take heed. Be prepared. Be proactive. Thanks again for tuning in. If you missed this broadcast, you can go to my website, JudyRedlich.com/radio, and we will have it on real soon. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next time.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.